Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
Yesterday, we finished up the 15 descriptions of love that are given to us in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. Quite a list. I'll read it, and I will try to restrain myself from commenting any further about it. But here's what we read. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Well, that's quite a list. It would be tempting to go back through it again because we need to get these things fastened to our minds, but I don't want to do that. But that's quite a list, and we need to realize that love wants to believe the best. It wants to believe the best, and it will do so as long as it's possible to. When it is no longer possible, when it is clear that iniquity is committed, not just you wonder if it is, but it clearly is, when it is clear that error is being taught, that lies are being told, that iniquity is being exercised, then you have to take your stand. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. Love rejoices in the truth. But love wants to believe the best, and love will be patient and wait as long as is possible before it will come to the conclusion that someone is committing sin that needs to be dealt with lovingly, because love does not ignore sin. Love does not fail to deal with sin. Love does not fail to correct error. But love is slow to assume any of those things until there can be no further doubt about it. But now we need to take up the final verses of the chapter that deal with the permanence of love. Thank you for joining me on this Friday, April 15, and many thanks to those of you who help support the Beacon Broadcast financially. What are we told in verses 8 through 13? And I'll give it to you, and then we'll go back to it a little more slowly. But we're told that love endures forever. The gifts, and remember, this whole section in love is in the larger section on spiritual gifts, the gifts will cease. But love will never cease. The incomplete will give way to the complete. Love is the complete. The spiritual gifts are incomplete. And so, love endures. There are actually three qualities that endure. Now abide these three. And, as we know, the greatest of these is love. All right, let's go back and look at these one by one. Verse 8, love never fails, which means love never comes to an end, failing in the sense of failing to endure, failing to exist. It's permanent. It's permanent. Love never fails. I can't say that about any person when you're talking about a person's life all of us will fail eventually. All of us will come to the end of our strength, the end of our endurance, the end of our ability to continue living in this world. We will all fail at some point as far as this earthly life is concerned, but love never fails. It never comes to an end. It is permanent. Love never fails. Love endures forever. But it goes on in verse 8 to say, love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Love never fails, but prophecies will fail. Love never fails, but tongues will cease. They will come to an end. Love never fails, but knowledge will vanish away. Now, if you have been around the Christian world for any length of time, you recognize that there are rather diverse opinions about when prophecies will fail, and when tongues will cease, and when knowledge will vanish away. And of course, if we knew that unquestionably, then it would solve a lot of problems. But the first thing we need to know is that all of these things, all of these spiritual gifts, and particularly prophecies and tongues and knowledge, are all temporary by design. How long they are designed to last is a matter of debate and a matter to study more carefully in other passages of Scripture, but this passage makes it clear these things are not permanent, and the point is that makes them inferior. Love is superior for a number of reasons, because, of course, it's a quality that exceeds in its value and exceeds in its ability to advance the cause of Christ more than these spiritual gifts. But it is also true that love is superior to the gifts because it will never cease. It will never fail. It is permanent. The gifts are all temporary, and that makes them inferior. What this means is that love will be very present when we get to heaven. Love will blossom. Love will be perfect. We will love without hindrance. We'll love without obstacle. We'll love without misunderstanding. We'll love without any mixture of sin, because it is the sin that remains within us that keeps us from loving as purely and as perfectly now as we will then. But when we are with the Lord and are entirely sanctified, we will be able to, in fact, more than we'll be able to, we will inevitably love like Christ loves, with a perfect love, without anything to keep us from loving perfectly. Love is permanent. It never comes to an end. It never fails. Whereas prophecies will fail, tongues will cease, knowledge, which we took earlier to mean the ability to understand the Bible perfectly, supernatural knowledge of the Bible to get it always right in our understanding of it, no misunderstandings, no wrong interpretations. But that's going to all cease. Now, again, the question is when. Some believe, well, that doesn't cease until the Lord comes back. At that point, prophecies will fail and tongues will cease and knowledge will vanish away. Well, taking that last one, knowledge, I don't know that I see any examples of anyone who has the ability to understand and interpret all of Scripture perfectly every time. So it would appear to me that if there was a time that there were people who had that ability, and evidently there were, if there is the spiritual gift of knowledge that is mentioned in the first century, evidently that one's already ceased. Why would we therefore not come to the conclusion that tongues likewise have ceased, and prophecies in the sense that God gives his word, his special revelation to prophets to declare to others? What reason would we have for thinking that that is continuing today, when it seems like it would be more likely that along with knowledge and tongues, it has vanished away? That's the way I understand it. I believe that these things ceased with the apostolic office, when there was no more need of apostles because the foundation was laid, and we don't keep laying it over and over again, and the apostles and prophets are in the foundation. When the foundation of the church was laid and there was no longer any need for apostles or prophets, there was also no need for tongues and for this kind of supernatural knowledge. Love endures forever. Gifts, on the other hand, are designed to be temporary, to cease. The incomplete will give way to the complete. For we know, verse 9, in part, and we prophesy, Paul is saying in that first century when he as an apostle did prophesy, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am also known. The incomplete will give way to the complete. When that which is perfect, that's a neuter, when the perfect thing, the perfect state, not the perfect person, but when the perfect state has come, that which is imperfect, that which is in part, will vanish away, will be done away. Mature Christianity, is what I'm seeing here, will make the gifts unnecessary. The gifts to build the church end at the maturity of the church, when the church gets out of its infancy and into maturity. The apostles are gone, the spiritual gifts are gone. And so present knowledge is partial, present prophecy is partial. We are, Paul says, at his time, we are in the child stage, but when that which is mature, the adult stage, comes, then that which is childish in part will be done away. And he uses the mirror illustration. A mirror is a poor substitute for the real thing. In fact, in that day, even more so than in ours. Because in that day, mirrors were not as good as ours. They tended to be polished brass. They didn't have the kinds of glass mirrors that we have today. So a mirror is something that is dim at best. In the mirror stage, these things are needed, but in the mature stage, when the scripture has been given completely and the church has reached its maturity, then that which is in part shall be done away. And that's the way I understand this ending section of 1 Corinthians 13. Love will never fail, but prophecies and tongues and knowledge will pass away in Paul's day and have passed away in our day. Well, we'll take up the last verse on the broadcast Monday. Please join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.